Welcome to the Power of Therapeutic Touch. And how is everyone this afternoon?
Tired.
That's what I thought. Yes, okay. I was going to ask you if you were tapped in, tuned in, and turned on, but I kind of think you're not. So I'll tell you what, we're going to be doing an energization breathing, yoga breathing exercise, and it will actually wake you up. And I'm going to have you stand. And this is called double breathing, and it really will energize you. And it's very simple. You don't have to think too much about it when you do it. You're going to be taking a short inhalation through the nostrils, a short and a long, and then going to exhale a short and a long through the mouth. And then we're going to add hand movements with the two. You just raise your arms up and down. It's not a lot of effort, but it will wake you up. We're going to do about probably 6 or 7 breaths. So let's begin. You can begin your inhalation now. We're going to do one short through the nostrils and one long through the nostrils. And then like that, okay? Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. In. Ex. In. And ex. All right. Okay, please be seated. Now, how do you feel? Awake, alive, and ready? Okay. That's very good. We're going to be talking a lot about energy, and as you just energized yourself. Energy and the energy systems is really a large part of therapeutic touch. So, what is therapeutic touch anyway? It is a non-invasive healing technique or practice that you do through manipulation and strengthening of the patient's energy field. Now, we all have an energy force field around us that extends out from the body about 3 or 4 inches. And it's also been described as a contemporary interpretation of various ancient healing practices. And so, one of those healing practices that you probably have heard of is called laying on of the hands. And excuse me just a second here. I need to pull out my notes just in case. And how many have heard of laying on of the hands? Oh my gosh, that's good. Good. Well, I'm very familiar with that because my father was a minister, had a small congregation, and he used to get together about once a week in what he called a prayer service, and he would administer laying on of the hands to members of the congregation that seemed to be in need of it. And I know as a child I used to say, oh yeah, Dad is doing his woo-woo thing again. And I was kind of fascinated with it because nobody ever really explained to me anything about it other than I knew it was like, oh, spiritual, mystical, and there was a mystery around it and magic kinds of things. So the fact that this was a special thing that no one knew very much about as healers, the people that were involved in this, we always had kind of a special aura around them. You know, they were very special people. And, you know, had even been called by God or higher power possibly to do this. Well, in the late 1960s, there was a lady by the name of Dolores Krager, and she received her PhD in nursing in the late 1960s. Afterwards, with her postdoctoral research, she did her research in the therapeutic use of the hands. And about that time, she met a nurse, a lady by the name of Dora Kuntz, who was known as an intuitive healer. Now, I will talk a little bit about what an intuitive healer is, and well, a little bit later on when we get into the steps of the treatment. So, therapeutic touch based on an ancient healing type of thing. Dolores decided that she really didn't believe all that, and she thought anybody could do it. So she went forward with, she and Doris worked with medical doctors and scientists, and they went into like every aspect of the act of healing and the healers and how, you know, they did a thorough like research project on it. So they came up with this system that they called therapeutic touch. And how many people in here might use therapeutic touch in their nursing practice? Is anybody here? Oh, good. And how about anybody who's looking at this for the first time? Okay, everybody has heard of it. That's good. That's good. One thing, if you, when you get trained in how to do it, and as a nurse, you can use it, you know, with your patients in kind of a soothing, comforting way. And you can also take it with you wherever you go. You can practice it at home with your family members and even with your animals. So, but you really, you know, you have to take the class and learn how to do it. So, in 1975, Krager introduced this to the nursing program. And since then, it has really built, and there's about 150 universities in the United States that teach therapeutic touch in their nursing programs. So that's quite a bit. So while, I call it TT, that's kind of the short version of it. TT is not a religious practice. It does have a spiritual element to it that is rooted in an Eastern philosophy. And the Hindus came up with an energy system that they call prana. Now, we refer to our life force, or we just say life force. We wouldn't go probably call it prana, but prana is actually the Hindi word for it. And this universal life force permeates every cell of our organism. And in some cultures, it's referred to as chi or ki, as in the martial arts form, which is Tai Chi or Aikido. Now, I understand later on you're all going to be running some Chi in here because you're going to have a session where you're going to be doing some Tai Chi. So that should be a real good experience for you. And Krager and Kuntz found that this philosophy actually supported therapeutic touch, this energy system, because of the interaction of the energy fields. And so a person with a healthy, vibrant force field, with vibrant prana, as you call it, or life force, we just call it, it's like the breath. The breath is the life force, and the breath is the prana as well. You can, with intention, transfer this vitalizing energy that you have into another person whose energy may be depleted or out of balance. And so usually at this point in this talk, I say, everybody take a deep breath, because a lot of people, when you're talking about energy, or they're thinking, oh, what is that? This is kind of woo-woo stuff. But I would say just sit back and relax and accept what you can about this, and what you can't, just let go. And so here we have a picture of the energy system, and you'll see that it's kind of overlaid on a picture of someone that sort of looks like Krishna, you know, the Christ of India. Sometimes you see this same scene overlaid on a Buddha form. And they have depicted the energy centers along the spinal column here that we all have, energy points, and they are, it's where the nerves bundle together along the spinal column. And they have them depicted as wheels, circles. And of course, it's called the chakra energy system in India. And it's actually called that here as well. But if you could just imagine these little points of energy along your spinal column that moves very, very rapidly. And you'll notice the symbols on these. These are like international symbols, which is a study all of its own. And I won't be going into that about what each one of those symbols mean. But you'll notice we have seven of those points along the spinal column, and three is actually below the waistline, and four of them are above the waistline. Now the energy systems below the waistline vibrate at a really slow rate, kind of a gross type of vibration, and you could understand why, because that is associated with our bodily functions of elimination, digestion, and it's actually the root of our creative sexual energy there. And the reason I mention that is because the centers above the waistline vibrate at a very rapid rate of speed, and that would be the heart, the throat, the brow, and the top of the head. So you can imagine all these energy centers working together and really pushing you forward to do the things that you need to do. But when you're doing healing work and therapeutic touch, you would want to make sure, suppose you were doing a mental visualization in the steps of the treatment, where you were at the point where you're going to infuse energy into this other person. It would be a good idea if you thought about the energy coming from the heart center, or, you know, possibly visualize it coming down the arms and out through the hands into the other person. In other words, anything above the waistline would be good. Now you're probably saying, how does she know that these vibrate at a low rate or a high rate? But yes, we do know that now. About 25 years ago, there was a Dr. Zimmerman from the UK, and he developed an instrument that would measure this, and it's called a magnometer. You probably have heard of that as well, but it measures biomagnetic particles. Now, before this, scientists were very hard-pressed to even admit that we had a force field around us. But now, with the greater knowledge of quantum physics and the fact that you can measure the biomagnetic particles, it's accepted now with scientists and everybody else that, yes, we do have a force field around us. And, of course, measuring that anywhere where there's electricity, you can measure it. And of course, our bodies are electric, as you know. So It's used a lot now, and it isn't really poo-pooed like it was before. So I have placed the chakra systems on a physical frame here. And if you start from in ascending order, you have the root, the sacral, the solar plexus, and all of you have heard about solar plexus. I mean, we talk about that a lot. And then the heart center, the throat, the brow, and the top of the head. And then over on the other side, you can see the Hindi words for each one of those chakras. And so that's the whole system that we use, and we really work a lot in that energy field. When you're doing therapeutic touch, you're going to be feeling that, you're going to be smoothing it out, you're going to be taking out the chunks, you know, that don't feel right in the energy field. And that's really why you work like 2 to 5 inches from out from the body. And of course you can do therapeutic touch by touching the person as well. But, you know, personally, it works a little better for me if I work in the energy field, really, rather than just actually on the person. So I wanted to mention the code of ethics here. Now, I know nurses, it's like preaching to the choir, because nurses have a code of ethics with them all the time that they use with their patients. But here I wanted to mention the things like respect. You have to respect the person that you're working on. You have to be honest with them, tell them exactly what you're doing, and stay in integrity. You know, don't make big claims about you can be healed and whole if you do this treatment, because that just isn't so. And go forward with competence. In other words, you have to know the anatomy of the body. And you'd want to know where the organs are in the body. And you have to take responsibility for your actions here. Be responsible, you know, for what you do. Here are some of the applications for therapeutic touch. And of course, high on the list is pain management, and there's a lot more applications too, but we've just listed a few here. Your headaches, muscle and joint pain, wound healing, childbirth, side effects of chemotherapy, depression, anxiety, sleep disorders, those types of things. But you really must keep in mind that in working with, as a healer with therapeutic touch, that you are simply helping the body heal itself. And when you're working in this fourth energy field around the person, you're smoothing it out and doing all these things, but it just will keep the person in a better balance, and so that their own system can heal themselves. So I've done a lot of work with people on the side effects of chemotherapy. I've worked a lot with cancer patients in therapeutic touch. And chronic fatigue. And some of the things I was going to share, some of my experiences about the treatment with you. I did a lot of work with people that have carpal tunnel, and we seem to have a real outbreak of that at San Diego State in the people in reprographics, where they were doing the same motion over and over again. I think I've worked on everybody over there, given them a treatment at some point, and I was just like thrilled with the outcomes of that, because it seemed to really take effect with them. They were actually able to have less pain, and it seemed like the inflammation may have moved on or moved out. And so they were always really, really happy with it. Sometimes people, only after one treatment, they would say how much better they felt. And right along with that, too, is people with shoulder pain and joint pain, too, because it's all connected. And I remember this one lady, her arm was kind of frozen. I guess she had bursitis or something of that nature going on there. And after the treatment, she was actually able to lift her arm all the way up there without pain, you know, right after the treatment. And so that really made a believer out of her. I'm sure that she probably would have had to have more treatments, if, you know, if it came back again. But she was just absolutely thrilled with it. So that was like kind of a fun thing to do. And the other experience I'm going to tell you about was working with a colleague of mine, actually. One day she called me and asked me if I would do a treatment for her, and I said, fine, yes, I would. And I knew that she had not been feeling well for quite some time, and she couldn't seem to find out what was wrong with her. And she had been amiss in going to the doctor for a diagnosis or for a checkup. One of the main things is because she, at that point in her life, did not have health insurance. And so she came over, and I noticed when she came up my steps that she was just very winded and very fatigued. And so I sat her down and started to do a treatment with her. And when I was doing the assessment, which you will see, we'll show you how to do that as well, where, you know, the hands go down over the body, all of a sudden, when I got into the breast area there, it was just like a hot bolt shot out into the palm of my hand. And I was like, ooh, I almost jumped, you know, because it was just so radical. And right at that same time, I got a mental picture, like in my mind's eye. What I saw with her was something that looked like wet chunks of concrete, like wet concrete that was sort of lopped all around her left breast area. And I was kind of shocked with that, but of course I did not say anything to her. I kept on working, and so after we were after I was through with the treatment, I said, you must promise me that you have to go to the doctor, because there's a lot of hot places in your body, and you know, it just isn't right, and that's probably why you haven't been feeling well for quite a long time. So she said okay, so she would. And the bottom line of that is she was diagnosed with inflammatory breast cancer, inoperable. And of course it had been going on for a while, and she didn't know that. So I worked with her in treatments as she went through her chemo and the after effects of it. I worked with her right up until the time that she actually transitioned, which was about 6 months later. And at the end of her life, I would go over to her place and give her the treatment. She was at home, and because she would had a really terrible time sleeping, she would be like very agitated, and of course she was on a lot of drugs, as what, morphine mainly. And so I actually worked with her right up until the time that she died. And about, I had given her a treatment about 4 hours before she had actually transitioned. And that's another thing, when you learn how to do this, you need to take the advanced courses in it. So you work differently with a person who's in the dying stages. And it's a thing that you do, I'll just briefly mention it, because you would need to go to a teacher and learn really how to do it. It's kind of one of the things that is very difficult when people transition is, what do you think it is? What do you think would be the hardest thing when you're in the dying stages?
Letting go.
Right. And that's just the thing, letting go of how to, or some people have even said to me, like, I know that I'm I need to go, but how do I get out of my body? And, you know, that's a pretty deep question to ask a person, especially one that's just doing therapeutic touch. But there is a method of treatment for that, of which you kind of help the energy, you know, take it down from the heart center, down the arm and out. And I think anything that you can do to help a person in that, when they're in that state or stage of death, is very, very beneficial. Beneficial for the family or the people, you know, who are just sort of waiting and they can't do anything. If you knew how to do therapeutic touch, you could do that on a person. So I don't say that it hastens the death. I just think that it takes the energy, balances it, lets it flow, and then, of course, they're able to let go. So it's just kind of an interesting study if you want to do advanced therapeutic touch. Now, research has been done in these areas, and this is just a few areas, again, that I've listed here. And there's been many, many studies on therapeutic touch or healing, that type of healing. And, you know, they've had very good outcomes with it, positive outcomes. But there's also been a lot of criticism about it because of the fact of the design studies are not a good design study. They did not have anything where they actually went into the process of therapeutic touch. And so their studies with people were doing it any way they wanted to, and they had nothing to, without a description, they had nothing to interpret there so that they could compare the studies across studies, so to speak. So in 1999, there was a qualitative research study done by Winstead, Fry, and Keck. And they described the nature of a core process of TT in adults and full-term infants. And this was practiced by five professional nurses, each treating one adult and one full-term infant. So the analysis from all this and the findings were each one of them worked on one adult and one infant, was in all 10 cases of the five informants with the adults and five infants, that they were able to see a clear stepwise process that emerged for therapeutic touch with very few variations, you know, with the technique in individuals. And these are the same steps that are practiced today by the practitioners. And so there was actually an agreement then between the processes, the one described in the study and the standard process discussed in the literature, that the next logical step would be to use this process as an operational definition in the use of therapeutic touch in quantitative methodologies to study and process the outcome of this practice. And so they have been doing that, and the studies, of course, have gotten much better in the current research. You can go, I have some references listed back here that you can take a look at and look at that yourselves. TT has always been shown to be a cognitive individual process with a common stepwise progression. So you know that there will continue to be difficulties using traditional quantitative methodologies with this to study the process and the outcomes, because it is a cognitive individual process. So, but they've really come a long way with accepting, okay, this is a method, this is authentic, and this is how you need to do it. Okay, we're coming to the point now of talking about starting the treatment or prior to starting the treatment. And one of the big things is here that you need to do as a healer when you're starting to work on the patient or the person is a centering or a grounding of yourself. And this can be achieved through, maybe you want to do a couple minutes of meditation before you start the treatment with yourself, or a centering prayer. Some people do Tai Chi movements, which is really good. And just to get their own energy back in balance. And, or, you know, any method of your choice I have put up here as well. But what you want to do is be able to be really focused and centered and slow your breath down. And you want to be able to focus 100% on the, focus your awareness on the wellness of the person. Now, this is all about wellness. And I know a lot of you know this in your practices as nurses, but you're never going to go down to the level of the person who's in pain that you're going to be working on. You don't do that. What you need to do with yourself and with the patient is bring them up to your level, and your level needs to be wellness. You need to be positive, in a wellness state. And some of the ways that you can do that with yourself, rather than talk about the disease with the person or whatever it is, the pain they may be having, is to, you think a better thought in your own mind. In other words, you reach for a better thought. Or you might, you can sometimes even do a little virtual reality on your own, where you would kind of imagine yourself in a very happy place. And just so, even if you can do that for a couple of seconds, it puts you in a good level of vibration in order to work on another person. So, you know, and I think as you work as a healer, you find your own methods for doing this as well. And as you know, as healers, you don't take on the diseases of the patients. You can never, ever get sick enough to heal anybody. And we have a lot of examples that you read about of great healers in the past. And one of them I will mention, which we have stories about it, which of course would be Jesus, the story of his healing life. And he was all about wellness, you know. And he didn't work on members of his family either. He went out and worked with strangers, so he was not living with the people that he worked with. But he, you know, was able, he had such a positive influence as far as healing was concerned that people just absorbed it, you know, and they were healed. So that's a little bit of a different type healer than what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about doing therapeutic touch. But I had mentioned before about intuitive healers. A lot of people do see certain things when they're doing therapeutic touch and working in this sensitive energy field, but not all the time. And it's not something that you would diagnose and tell the patient about too much. You might say something like, oh, you know, you have this area here. It seems like you have a little congestion here or something. But a lot of healers do get pictures of what's going on in the body. I do it sometimes, but I wouldn't classify myself as an intuitive healer. But I'm pretty sensitive, and the more you work with something like this, the better that you become doing it. So that's what I have to say about intuitive healers. I think we're all intuitively inclined anyway. We just need to develop it. Not something just special that is laid on you. You have to work with it like anything else. So, here's a little bit more about prior to starting treatment. You want to make a connection. You want to be present. You want to make a connection with the person that you're working on. And you would position the person in the chair and guide them into relaxation and focus and talk to them in a reassuring voice. And I know when I was making up these slides, I had a friend of mine who happens to be in the audience called this the reassuring touch. And I thought that was really neat. I said, I'm going to use that in my talk. So now we come to the point of the demonstration. So I would like to have some volunteers to do a treatment on, and then I'm going to have you interact with that person too, where you're going to be able to feel some things in the energy field. So